Live from Patriot Studios, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bing and Michael B.
Good Sunday afternoon to you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. It is 2 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Michael B. from Texas Patriot Studios Command, along with my brother from another mother, Mr. Bing Fisher from Tennessee Patriot Studios Command. Brother Bing, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Michael. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. It's been a very busy weekend. I went and I try to go every couple of weekends and not only give my mom a break, but just because it's my job, you know, it's part of what we do when people raise us in our lives and take care of us. When they become elderly, it's our turn to take care of them. So I spent the afternoon yesterday with my grandmother, fed her, spent some time with her. Was a different experience than it's been in the past. But, you know, hey, she's 92 years old. She'll be 93 this coming July 4th. Yeah, that's right. She was born on July 4th. She was born in 1921. She was born to a poor white sharecropping family down in Georgetown, Texas. This lady taught me all of the necessities in life about how to be self-reliant and make your way through life. And, you know, I'm sad that that I think God's calling her home, but I guess I'm glad at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You know, it's just end of life issues, man. It's, you know, the thing is that what surprises me, man, if you think about it, I don't know about me and you living to that ripe old age. You know, it's kind of scary in a way.
But. Yeah, it is. It really is. I don't know that I want to live to be that old. If I'm, you know, she doesn't talk. She quit talking 2 years ago. And for the last 2 years, though, she's forgotten just about everything and everyone. I don't know if it's just old age dementia or Alzheimer's. You really don't know if it's Alzheimer's until they die. And if you have an autopsy done, which we won't do, but, the only way that she's been able to communicate with me since then is with her eyes. And I've always known by looking in her eyes that she knew who I was. And yesterday the eyes were, I guess, shall we say, they were dead. They were dead eyes. So
yeah, and that's
a bit of a long day.
I feel for you, brother. I really do. You know, I mean, you know, the eyes are the gateway of the soul, you know, and it's, you know, it's disturbing to you know, have to go through all that. But, you know, that's part of life. You know, we would not know the living part of life if there wasn't the opposite side, you know. So.
Oh, absolutely. And I just thank God every day that I have the wherewithal to be able to do what I consider my duty. And, I think that's something that most of we conservatives hold dear and grasp to, not only in the way of charity and in the philanthropic desire to help others that need help. You know, of course, we believe that it's up to us and not the government, but not to dismiss our seniors and stick them away and forget about them. You know, I'm glad that me and people like me, you know, you and all of our friends are the kind of people that that do these kinds of things, and as hard as they may be sometimes.
Right, and the thing is that it's important. It helps to the fact that that she's still with you, that you're able to see her, and so on. It's long distance makes it a lot tougher on people that have the same kind of problems.
Yeah.
But I feel for you, brother, and I hope everything goes well for you.
Well, I appreciate it. No need to feel for me. It's just probably going to be a tough, however long. I think we're at the end, but like I say, God will bring her home when He's ready, and I'm not trying to rush it. You can tell. We've got a great show though lined up today, Brother Bing. We're having back today Mark Stewart, Texas Tea Party leader here in North Texas. We're going to bring on here in just a second, and we're going to work further into the agenda that we started with him a few weeks ago. Then we have our Step Right Up segment at 3:45, and then at 4 we have Harmon Caslow. Rihanna called or got a hold of you and wanted Harmon to come back on for the DVD release, so we're going to have Harmon on. By the way, I have already, it's 6 minutes past the top of the hour, Bing, and I've already forgotten to say the phone number 718-305-7176. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. You can find us at conservativenationradio.org. I would encourage you to check out our website. Our general manager, Teresa Brusky, has been doing a tremendous amount of work on the website, Brother Bing, and it's really looking good. I also encourage you to go to traditionalamericanmovement.com because Conservative Nation Radio is the mouthpiece for traditional American movement. And if you're not a member of that site, I would encourage you to sign up and become a member of that site and enjoy all of the benefits of being a member at that site as well. I guess with that, Brother Bing, let's go ahead, unless you've got anything you need to address real quick, and get Mark in here and get started with him.
No, I'm fine right now, man. I'm waiting for 3:45 a little bit, but I'm going to get into a little bit of a rant after that, after we do a Step Right Up segment. But, yeah, Teresa's
right.
Doing a great job on the website, man.
Well, I would
and
like
welcome
to introduce
Mark.
A friend of ours, a friend of mine, Mark Stewart, who is a Tea Party leader here in Texas. His particular group is White Rock Tea Party Group. Y'all probably remember him from a couple of weeks ago. Let me just recap. We've previously spoken with Mark about Texas Congressman Pete Sessions being chairman of the House Rules Committee, which affects everybody, even though he is a Texas congressman. Recap a little bit of the meeting down in Austin and in the swearing in of our 83rd Texas legislature, what we're up against, and we listen as conservatives, and we listen to a clip from John Campbell of Irvine, of the House Finance Services Subcommittee. So we're going to step right into segment two of Mark's agenda, which is what we're up against and how what we can do now as grassroots activists. So with that, I'd like to bring in our brother, Mark Stewart. Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Hello, Michael. Hello, Bing.
Hey, brother.
Everything been going okay since we last spoke?
It's been going okay. I don't know. Did you all happen to hear some of the speeches from the Republican Washington confab?
I heard Bobby Jindal's.
Yeah, Bobby Jindal. Bobby Jindal. It's funny. I went back and reread the transcript of that speech, and it is really a fantastic speech. But the only thing I heard about was how stupid the Republicans are, and we've got to get people who say idiotic things off the stage or something to that effect. I thought that's the one problem I think Republicans have or that conservatives have is that we can always count on Republicans to do the circle firing squad thing and beat up on people. I mean, I suppose you could say that what Todd Akin said is stupid and he apologized for it. But, how many things has Debbie Wasserman Schultz said or, some of the other Democrats, like that congressman from Florida whose name is escaping me, Alan Grayson. Remember good old Alan Grayson?
Yep.
Oh,
how many
sure.
outrageous things he said. And let us not forget that the keynote speaker of the Democratic National Convention was an alleged rapist. So it's really amazing how Republicans and conservatives could have faux pas or say things that are perhaps inopportune. And the Republican Party joins in lambasting them instead of defending.
Yeah, we do a real good job of devouring our own. It's almost like we're trying to impress people that aren't going to vote for us anyway, in the hopes of making them think that, we're fair-minded individuals, and they're not going to vote for us anyway. But we go ahead and devour our own. Did Richard Murdoch and Todd Akins say some stupid things? I don't know that stupid is the good word. I think what they said, I know what they said, I believe. Now, could they have worded it differently? Yes, I would say perhaps they could have worded it differently. But, you're absolutely right, Mark. We do. We devour our own, and we do it in the failed attempt to try to impress people who aren't going to vote for us anyway.
Yeah, and I think it springs from the fact that on the Democratic side, they absolutely believe in what they stand for, that they are right. And I don't think the same is true on the other side. I think people in the grassroots and on the street level absolutely do believe in what conservatism stands for. But as far as the Republican Party, that's a sign that they don't truly believe in what they are supposedly all about.
Absolutely. Well, the phone number, by the way, the phone number is 718-305-7176. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing. Our guest is Mark Stewart, who is a Texas Tea Party leader here in Texas that's joining us today and is going to continue a discussion with us. Mark, let's kind of move it right along because we do have you until about 4:15. When we last spoke, we had just finished up segment one. What you're talking about, I think, is a good segue into what we're up against, and us being us that are listening to this show, our circle of friends, which is the grassroots. What can we do moving forward? Why don't you impart your thoughts on us? We've got about 2 minutes. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and pick it right up.
Yeah, just to get an idea of what we're up against. I mean, the people in Washington are all about Washington and that lifestyle. I mean, it's what, 7 of the 10 richest counties in the United States are surrounding Washington, D.C. I mean, the wealth that is coming from us and going there is extraordinary, and these people are having a party. And so we just have to realize that the system is corrupt. I mean, the incentives are messed up. There's no accountability to the voters. The accountability is to each other and those groups that write the checks. So, you might give $75,000 to a committee chairman, say, to get, say, I don't know, a $5 million contract perhaps. You hire an ex-staffer of that committee chairman as a consultant, and that guy puts an earmark and gets you that $5 million contract into a bill. It's a great return on your $75,000 investment. It's all perfectly legal. Then say that person gets into trouble or somebody close to that committee chairman gets a primary challenger. They call those committee chairmen and those committee chairmen write them checks. So they're more interested in perpetuating their incumbency, and they do it by satisfying interests instead of constituents. So that's what we're up against. Now, what we can do as grassroots activists is get to work studying, for lack of a better term, the congressional map, and locating those people who are moving the money around, those power centers. And I think you can really harass that sort of network of money and interest and power by selectively primarying people and make them spend their money.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, Mark, real quickly, we just need to take a quick break. I real quickly, I just want to say, the leftist media, talking about what Mark's talking about, you know, what we can do as grassroots activists, we always have to keep in mind the leftist media, which would like conservatives like us to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberals. If you represent traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we like to call it here in within our circles. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. TRADAM is a liberal free website.
Free zone.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong, the lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All right, and this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host Michael B. and Uncle Bing Fisher. It is 18 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. You can find us at conservativenationradio.org as well as traditionalamericanmovement.com. And we're glad you're joining us today. Uncle Bing, I think we lost Mark.
Oh, it looks like we did, yeah.
Well, so hopefully
Mark,
he'll call back
call
in.
Call back in, brother.
Go ahead and chat for a minute. Oh, it's I just got a text from him. He needs to call in again. Please do. So glad everybody's got my phone number.
I tell you what, I'll read another letter here real quick. Make Mondays a time for America. Join Duke Brooks here on ConservativeNationRadio.org at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central for Radio Free America. Duke lists anti-communist among his hobbies, which is weird if your hobby is anti-communist, which is probably why NBC didn't have him fly a national network news helicopter. But if you love history, politics, flying, and the occasional Whittaker Chambers reference, check out Duke Brooks on Radio Free America Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservative conservatism for real conservatives.
All right, cool. Well, I see Mark's tried to call back in and got disconnected. He must be having some Skype issues. Hopefully he'll call back in. I guess we'll have to wing it for a minute. Let's go ahead and bring in Brother Kurt here and see how he's doing. Brother Kurt.
Hey, hey, Michael.
How's things going there?
Hey.
Henry County, Tennessee.
Hey, I'm good. How about you guys?
No complaints here.
How's the weather up there in Paris, Tennessee?
A little damp. Hey, listen. How are we on time here? Can I burn a couple, 3 minutes?
You certainly can. Go right ahead. Let me just give the phone number real quick. 718-305-7176 is the number to call. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing, and we've got our brother from Henry County, Tennessee, Kurt Blackwood in, who did the Step Right Up segment last week. Kurt, go ahead. Take about 3-4 minutes.
Okay. Well, why I wanted to do that, I feel like I'm the bearer of good news today. I want to tell you about something that I experienced yesterday. In a way, it wasn't anything new. It's just a meeting. I say just a meeting. I was in a meeting for a good chunk of yesterday. But after I left, and since then, I've been thinking about the people who were present for that meeting and the topics discussed and everything. And I marveled at it. I'll tell you a little bit about some of the people there. Among the people there, there were two, and I'm not going to call names now because some of them may not want their name tossed out on the air, you know, in this situation. And a lot of what we were doing doesn't need to be talked about in public right now. But there were two retired Navy men, one of them a retired Navy chaplain, the other Navy man who he had a high clearance, high-tech job in the Navy, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Another one that was there was a practicing attorney, and I watched that man. He for a while he was alternating between holding his head in his hands in frustration and in anger, softly thumping on the table to accentuate a point about what he was talking about. Sitting next to him was a lady I judged to be 40-something years old, maybe close to 50. She's a Ph.D. And there were others there that it won't come to my mind now what they're – oh, one guy in the crowd, he's a 23-year veteran of the U.S. Army, 3 tours in Iraq, left a brother in – well, he lost a brother in Afghanistan. He didn't leave him there, needless to say, brought him home. And as I looked around that crowd and I'm warned from something, you know, ask, what am I doing here? How did I get here with these people? And another man that was in the room who I hope to have on here one day before too long to discuss some Second Amendment issues. This guy, when the first time I ever met him, I thought he was a blowhard. But I found out nothing could have been further from the truth. He's a man who knows what he's talking about. He's the closest thing that I've seen to a modern-day Patrick Henry. I'm totally serious on this, and you'll hear from him one day. And I sat there in that room and contemplated the rest of those people and considered myself so fortunate, so blessed to be there. And the thought occurred to me, and I'm not trying to sound noble, it's just the way I feel about it. I would rather die with these people than to party with the, I got to bleep myself here, to party with the clowns that we're talking about some of these people. I mean, the liberal lefties, you know who I mean. It was just such a blessing for me to experience what I experienced there with those people. And like I said, there, and I'm listening to Mark as he talked about what they're doing down there in Texas, and we're on the same page. And that's all I'm going to say about that, about the meeting, that meeting and the content of it. I don't know, my cup ranneth over because of the people that I had the privilege to spend the time with and hear what they had to say and know their hearts. And believe you me, their hearts are in the right people, a right place, people. They are traditional Americans.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Well, Kurt, I hope the guy that you thought was a blowhard that you found out was a Patrick Henry, I hope you told him that before we get him on the show.
Well, that's a good segue.
I know you're pretty honest, Kurt, so I'm sure you did, you know.
Well, that's a good segue back to Mark, Kurt. And, you know, Kurt, or Mark, you're on. We got you on. Let's go ahead and pick up the discussion. But I'm hoping you heard what Kurt said. You know, I find myself, frankly, I find greater comfort amongst my conservative grassroots friends than I do anybody else. I find more like-minded individuals, people that I would rather be around, people that I want to move forward with. And that was what we were discussing here. The phone number is 718-305-7176. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. We do have Texas Tea Party leader Mark Stewart's back on the line with us, Mark. Go ahead. Let's pick up where we left off, which was, as grassroots conservatives, what do we need to do? Now, we've got about 5 minutes before a hard break, and then we'll pick it up after the bottom of the hour.
Well, the big thing, of course, is to get involved in primaries. There's a website called Ballotpedia that gives you information on how to file papers for, you know, to be a candidate for local races races in your area. So what you really have to do is just get people involved. Pick those races that there is a chance that a conservative could win, and just disrupt the system. I think, you know, they're not paying attention to us. That's pretty obvious. But we can get their attention by primarying candidates and making them spending their money. The other thing we can do is try to develop visionary donors. You know, a lot of the reason that we had problems this last election cycle is because all of the money was going into these various candidates who had traditional ideas of how to run a campaign, while the Democrats and Obama, we'll talk a little bit later about some of the strategies they used, were definitely running a 21st century campaign. While Romney was spending all his money on TV and phone calls, they were communicating people directly onto their cell phones.
Well, Mark, wouldn't you agree that unlike Herman Cain, Michelle Bachmann, Rick Santorum, I would say to some degree, Speaker Gingrich, you know, some of those third, second tier candidates, Mitt Romney, I think one of the things, and I don't want to pick on Mitt, but, you know, after we got down to between Mitt and Rick Santorum, The two campaigns that I was associated with were first Herman Cain and then Rick Santorum, which utilized the grassroots in ways that rivaled the liberals. Mitt Romney's campaign, I mean, after Rick dropped out and Mike Biondo went on over to Mitt's campaign, they really ignored the grassroots, and that was one of the things that I was deeply concerned about, and I think is the reason we saw fewer voters for Mitt Romney than voted for John McCain.
Right. Actually, I think those numbers were adjusted upwards slightly. I think, if I recall correctly, Romney had actually, in the end, 800,000 more votes than McCain did, which still is no great shakes when you consider the pickle that we're in. And yeah, it you're absolutely right. The Republican establishment and their donors are allergic to the grassroots. I mean, why does somebody like Karl Rove able to generate so much money and people that are on the ground knocking on doors can't get a penny?
Yeah.
Well, and that's one thing that bugs me. Me and my wife had a discussion about this today, okay? We tend to vote Republican, all right, just because, you know, the Democrat, I'm not voting for a liberal, which to me, the liberal party has been sideswiped. They had the rug pulled out of them, well, I don't know, 34 years ago. We were having this discussion today, and what is the difference, really, in us voting for a GOP trotted out candidate that really does not speak to the conservative base? They want to be moderate. They want to be in the mainstream. They think that is the way to win. And I think, and I truly believe, the way to win is to be, to stick up for your beliefs, your core beliefs, you know, your true conservative beliefs. You don't don't reach across the aisle to help other people, your enemy especially. And that is where a lot of the GOP base just said, you know, they threw their hands up in the air and said, I can't take it no more, you know, in my
Absolutely.
Opinion.
Brother Bing, hang on real tight. Hang on tight 1 second. Mark, hang on tight 1 second. We're up against a hard break. We'll come right back out of this and we'll pick it up. Well, we're going to try to do this.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council. Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And this is Soldiers of Patriotism. It is 31 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Michael B., along with my brother from Tennessee, Uncle Bing Fisher. Our guest today is Texas Tea Party leader Mark Stewart, who is a leader of the White Rock Tea Party group, a group that I had the pleasure and honor of going and doing a social media 101 course, which you can find at conservativenationradio.org, that Mark put together in a video form. It turned out pretty good, if I may say so myself. It touches on all the basics of social media that people like John LaRosa, Teresa Brusky, our very own general manager, and another friend of ours, Kiori Kai, which, by the way, if you've not checked out her Facebook page on the Facebook called The Situation Brief or her blog site, Situation Brief, I would highly encourage that you do so. We have affiliated her, or I should say CNR and her have affiliated. She brings the top of the line news that you need to have, you know, every day. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Let's go ahead, Bing, and bring Mark back in here and get right on it, because we do only have about 15 minutes left with Mark. We're going to have to continue this discussion with you, Mark, in another week or two. I'll have to take a look at our calendar, but this might have to be an ongoing segment or two with you. You know, our schedule's picking up, and we just have a lot of guests, which is not a good problem to have, right?
Exactly.
So anyway, let's go ahead and pick it back up. We were talking about as conservatives. I think when we went into that hard stop, we were talking about I had made the comment that I wasn't real pleased with the Romney campaign and their treatment of grassroots, or their lack thereof,
right,
of the grassroots. Which I know, you know, from mine and Bing's perspective, and many of the people in our circles, while we went and pulled the lever for Romney, we didn't get active. We just went on supporting our down ticket races and working diligently in those areas. There was just no motivation. I never felt like they reached out to me and wanted my help, quite honestly, and I think Bing would agree.
Oh, definitely.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of grassroots outreach, or didn't seem to be a whole lot, or support. So, I mean, that's really why, a big reason why he lost, obviously. And you had spoken just before the break about that Romney was trying to be a moderate, and I suppose that's true, but I think even more than that is his message was muddled. There was no clear, cohesive message that you could grab onto and say, yeah, I'm for that. There was no vision. That vision thing, as George H.W. Bush used to call it. No vision of where he wanted to take the country or where he wanted to lead the country. There's a lot to be said for that. I mean, Reagan was always talking about opportunity and growth and success and all that kind of thing. It was really none of that from Romney. He was just basically saying what the other guy's bad and here's why.
Well, I think so, Mark, I think that explains why they didn't reach out and cling to the grassroots, because they were muddled. I'm to some degree I understood what Romney was saying, but I understood it because I'm a conservative. But to me, His message was always muddled. I mean, you know, I know people grow and get older and their views of life change. But for instance, I don't, and not that I want to get into a discussion on abortion today, but I don't think abortion is one of those. I don't think that's one of those things that 10 years ago you say, well, I'm personally against abortion, but I'm okay if other people want to murder babies. I mean, I just don't buy that argument. I don't buy it from anybody. I don't buy anybody that says, I personally wouldn't partake in it, but if other people want to, that's fine. I mean, that's like saying I wouldn't rob a bank, but if other people want to rob a bank, go right ahead. I mean, you know, I never got that from him.
No, right. And the thing is, look, he did not appeal. Me and my wife were talking about this, like I said, and he did not appeal to us, okay? And I got to tell you, Herman Cain had a good grassroots support campaign. That's where a lot of us have met and formed a cohesive bond from that campaign. Now, some of us went, you know, on to other things. I went to Rick Santorum and so on. And actually, he didn't have that good of a grassroots campaign. Romney had even less than that. So, but they basically threw the baby out with the bathwater when they got rid of Herman Cain, in my opinion. I mean, that would have been a more viable choice, but Herman Cain got rid of himself, pretty much. But I'm just saying that does the GOP party stand for the rights or what we deem are inalienable rights? Do they stand for the Constitution anymore? Is it time for maybe a third party? I mean, seriously, there's a lot of – and the buzz now that you're hearing from the GOP is we have to stick together. We have to stick together. Why? Why do I want to stick together with a party that is basically almost the same as the enemy that I'm out there, you know, talking about all the time? Really? That's the way I feel personally, okay? Now, that's not – I'm not saying anything about anybody else on this network or anything, but that's the way I feel personally because I'm sitting there. I'm tired of wasting my vote. Do you see what I'm saying, Mark?
Yeah, personally, I don't think that's a good idea. I think a better strategy is to disrupt and infiltrate. The Democrats did it brilliantly. Took 20 years, but the far left is now in charge of the party. They kicked out everybody else. They infiltrated. They got into the local organizations, and they took over the party. And I think that's basically what we have to do. I think a third party is just another word for loser because they will lose. And whatever gains could possibly be made with conservative ideas and constitutional principles would be swept away forever. So I think what we need to do is get to work on the local level, school boards, city councils, county commissions. Go to meetings, show up. As Woody Allen, I believe it was, who said that 90% of success is showing up. When you show up at those meetings, even if you don't really do anything, if they know they're being watched, that's a huge shift in how things will change. I mean, if every conservative just made a commitment to go to one thing a week, just that sort of cascade would be, I think, incalculable how it could shift things.
Well, we definitely need to get involved in our county GOPs. You know, Mark, real quickly, you were talking about, you know, being it brought up the thing about the third parties and whatnot, and the name Karl Rove was mentioned. And you and I know who Tom Paulkin is, but everybody outside of Texas doesn't. Tom Paulkin was the former workforce commissioner here in Texas. Was in the Reagan administration, and he wrote a really good book that I urge everybody to get. It's called Bringing America Home, How America Lost Her Way and How We Can Find Our Way Back. And I just want to read a quick blurb here, Mark. The time has come to make it clear that George W. Bush, Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, Henry Paulson, and all of the rest do not represent the principles of American conservatism. We should not support Republican candidates for president just because they happen to be the lesser of two evils. He goes on to say, nor should we remain silent when a bunch of phony conservatives, which were those names I just mentioned, calling themselves neoconservatives, hijack the major intellectual organs of the conservative movement and use them to promote their ideological agenda. He goes on to say, similarly, the neoconservative architects of George W. Bush's strategy to defeat militant Islam were a group of arrogant intellectuals with very little, if any, military experience. Again, he's talking about Paulson, Wolfowitz, Rove, so on and so forth. He says, our first goal must be to recapture the Republican Party that has been taken by Machiavellian pragmatists and neoconservative ideologues masquerading as Reagan conservatives. What he's talking about is he's talking about all of the folks that HW and then later W. And look, I'm not, you know, I applaud George W. Bush for what he did after 9/11. But let's just be honest. He was a big spending Republican. He was a neoconservative by every definition of the word.
And that's how he lost a lot of independent voters, is because the Republicans were performing just like a Democrat. They were spending money like drunken you-know-what, and they said they lost faith.
Yeah, how do you think the Senate's going to go here, Mark, with the spending cap? I mean,
Do you mean the ceiling?
Yeah,
the debt ceiling.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they're already. You know, it just seems like, why can't they stop this? They hold the purse strings. Why can't they just sit there and say no more?
Well, when you have I'm not saying from my point of view, but I'm just saying from their point of view, when somebody puts together a fiscally sound, or at least something that's on a glide path to something that's fiscally sound, the media automatically treats it as not a serious proposal. Increasing spending and escalating levels of debt are serious proposals, but to avoid economic and fiscal disaster, to put something together that addresses that is not a serious proposal. So that's why I think they're afraid. They don't want to do battle with the other party, the media, and people within the establishment Republican ranks. So it takes a lot of courage to stand out, and there really aren't a whole lot of those folks there at the present time.
No, there truly aren't. That's my opinion, anyways. I mean, I just don't see them there. There's a couple. I just don't really see, you know, Mitch McConnell helping anybody out as far as we go, as far as true conservatives go. I don't see, they just sit there and they're so it almost seems like they're whimpering to Harry Reid.
Right.
They're kowtowing to him. And you know, they need to just stand up and say, no, we're not going to take it no more. This is the way it is. It's our way or the highway. If you don't like it, then, you know, we'll do something else. And,
well,
and I think people will understand, and conservatives will understand and say, look, you know, these guys at least have some gonads to sit there and go up against these people. And they'll vote that way.
Right. Right.
You that's know, what they're concerned about. But, you know, if a politician is concerned about being elected next election cycle, they don't need to be up there. If that's
right.
What they're,
you know,
truly concerned about.
True leaders rise by speaking the truth, not by being timid and calculating. Republicans always seem to fold because they're afraid of being blamed, and that's not what we need right now. We need true leadership. So I think what we can do as grassroots folks is just challenge that money system, challenge that network, run primary candidates, strategically primary candidates or incumbents to diffuse money sources, empty campaign war chests. I think integrity and organization, and I believe Michael B. can attest to this, will always beat money. So we just got to push strategies that disrupt and give these people headaches.
Well, we proved it here in Texas with Ted Cruz. I mean,
right.
we beat hands down. Well, first we pushed him into a primary runoff. Speaking of our lieutenant governor, Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, Mark, as you will probably agree, felt that it was his birthright to be a Texas state senator to the United States Congress. He felt that was his birthright. It's hard to explain. You've got to be from Texas to understand the mentality, the political mentality of people that have the kind of money that the lieutenant governor has. and thinking that it's their birthright. He was another fine example of someone that didn't embrace the grassroots. Ted Cruz did. I was on the Ted Cruz bandwagon when we were at 1% in the polls. We forced him to a primary, and then we beat him hands down. I mean, we beat him bad. We beat him like he was living in a wet paper bag.
Well, there's a difference between a politician and a statesman, and I don't understand, you know, it's the same deal with Hollywood, you know, where these Hollywood stars and so on, they think that just because their kids are born under their name or, you know, siblings and that kind of thing, and brothers and sisters, that they're actors, you know, and the politicians are almost the same way. We got the Kennedys and we got dynasties of politicians, and that's not the way it was intended. It's not the way it was meant, and and we have to change that.
Well, guys, we're running a little long on this segment. Mark, I want to give you just some closing remarks. If you can stick around, great. You know, after Harmon comes on, we'll open it up for a round table. We'd love to have you a part of it. But I'd like to go ahead and give you a few minutes before we go into our quick little soft break and then bring on our Step Right Up segment guest today. So go ahead, take a minute or two. Closing remarks. I will email you if you don't stick around for the show. To schedule you to come back so we can continue this great discussion with Texas Tea Party leader Mark Stewart. Mark, go ahead, take a few minutes.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is we've all got to get involved. Voting is no longer enough. In fact, simply voting, while good, is maybe 10% of the game. We've got to study and find out how the system works, where those weak points are, where the weak points are in the establishment, and bring him down, you know, a David and Goliath type of scenario. And really, all of this starts with getting involved in your counties, school boards, city elections, boards and commissions. Show up to those meetings. Go and give public input. Let these people know that you are watching them. And make phone calls to your congressmen and senators, although at this point, since they largely don't seem to be listening to their constituents, that's probably less effective. But still, you've got to keep that up. But really, it's the local level. I mean, if you have any inkling at all or desire, run for a school board position. Run for a county commissioner post. Get involved with your city council. Go visit the offices of your local state representatives just to say hi. Or just to thank them for a vote, or maybe just say, hey, I wasn't really hip to that vote. Just by showing up at their office will blow them away. So if you can do that, if you can get to your state capitals, maybe make a plan to do it once a year, twice a year, makes a huge difference. Because if people know they're being watched, they're going to be less apt to sneak stuff under the carpet.
Absolutely, Mark. Well, thanks for joining us today. Please stick around. You know, folks, this is Soldiers of Patriotism. We've been enjoying a nice conversation with our pal Mark Stewart, Texas Tea Party leader. And what he's talking about is conservative grassroots. You know, friend your House representative at your state level. Mine, Matthew Krause. In fact, several of my sister, Gio Capoligoni, and Stephanie Click, they're all friends of mine. They see what I post. They know how I feel. They know I'm keeping an eye on them and that I worked hard for them. Friend, or like your representative to Washington. Mine's Kay Granger, who I'd like to see replaced. But, you know, stay on top of them. You know, this is a conservative revolution, and the grassroots is at the forefront of it. Speaking of conservative revolutions, let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America and the Constitution, just like Bing and I. Since that's the case, you're going to want to have a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers to patriotic T-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to all the good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all of your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now, folks. Just go to conservativenationradio.org, click on the Patriot Depot banner, to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Hi, this is Frank Beard of ZZ Top for Rad. If you're out partying and drinking, and we all know that happens sometimes, please don't get behind the wheel. Give up the keys to a designated driver. Please don't drink and drive.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hey, this is Michael B., along with my brother Uncle Bing. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. The time is, we're going to say 51 minutes after the top of the hour. Folks, look, there's strength in conservatism, which is why we're all here. And Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing have been with conservative, or I should say Brenda Ward has been with conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning. And thankfully, she's still with us. Maybe that's why Hillary Clinton has been incommunicado for the last few weeks. Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, and Nikki Haley have nothing on Brenda. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward, Tuesday, 7 p.m. to 6 p.m. I'm sorry, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central is the place to hear from real women who are real conservatives. So let your voice be heard. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome as well. And I just want to add, Barbara Buffing, her co-host, along with Brenda, they are rocking the house. So check out Women Patriots every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central. Brother Bing, come on in here. Let's bring in our guest. I'm going to cue up the music.
All right, brother. Well, Rob didn't call in, but I got somebody else here, so go ahead and cue it up.
All right.
Vibrato, vibrato, vibrato.
And I'd like to bring in Jim Quam. I'll step right up. Jim, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing, Bing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great, man. Jim's like a brother from another mother of me, and never met, but you know it's been great knowing him. And your other brother, Rob, who was supposed to call in, did not call in. But I'm gonna let you go ahead and take it away, brother. You just ran.
All right, well,
whatever you want to rant about.
He and I were talking last night, and we agree on a lot and we disagree on a lot. And one of the things that he was talking about was somewhat similar to what y'all were just talking about as far as infiltrating the system and, you know, really getting in there and infiltrating and trying to bring it down in that manner. I disagree with that. I think our system's broken. I think it's, you know, our representatives that are up there, they might represent us some of the time, some of them. Most of them don't represent us at all. And I think the whole system is broken, and to try to play by their rules and play their game is just another way to end up defeated. I think the only way to really to do it right is to grab that Constitution, hold it dear, and invite everybody to join you. You know, you got people that they will label you a conservative or a liberal or a Democrat or Republican, a libertarian. And all of these labels, they alienate the guy standing next to you. And I think that those labels in general are somewhat of a problem in themselves. You You look at this nation, and I think that whether you're a liberal, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter. I think that most people will recognize the fact that Washington, our federal government, does not represent its people well at all. And I don't care if you're, you know, a staunch Obama follower or not, they don't represent the people. And I think that if you got the people behind an idea that's not necessarily a political movement, such as the Tea Party, you know, the Tea Party in itself, that name scares people. The media have taken the Tea Party, which I love the Tea Party. I think they're a great idea. I think everything they do is wonderful. But that name, Tea Party, has been tarnished by a crooked media. And so people will alienate the Tea Party. They don't want anything to do with them. And I think if you just say, you know what, I'm an American. That's it. I'm an American. And you know what, this guy next to me, he and I don't see eye to eye on everything, but he's an American too. And, you know, and get everybody to just say, you know what, American. That's what it's really about, is this great country. I put my life on the line many times for this country, and I'd do it again in a heartbeat. But I wouldn't want to lift one finger to the federal government. And the federal government is our problem. I think the states need to take back their powers that they have given away. And, you know, we need to, as Americans, stand on our own two feet and put our hands back in our own pockets instead of, you know, holding them out for somebody else to pad your pocket. It's just there's a whole lot of people that have a lot of different ideas. And I think that as long as you have people going in different directions, you're never going to win. You're never going to get that you're never going to get where you need to be. And there's too many, you know, people, like I said, going in different directions that have the same type of ideas, but they all believe different things and they're all going about it in different ways, and they're never going to come together. You know, some people will call it a defeatist idea, saying that I have a defeatist mentality about this, but I think it's more of a realistic one.
Well, yeah, and you know, speaking of that, and good rap, man. I know you're a constitutional. I've talked to you before. You agree to the Constitution. You agree to uphold it. Do you think that it's been pretty much raped?
Oh yeah. And that's our problem. The further we get away from our constitutional roots as a country, the bigger our problems are. And they just keep stomping and tromping on the Constitution. And that's what's, you know, really disheartening to a lot of us. You know, that's, you know, and the ones, if they would stop listening to ABC, CBS, NBC, all of these media outlets that are so corrupt anyways, if they would stop listening to them and really do some homework, they would realize that, you know, that's a problem. That's a big problem. You're on the road to tyranny. You're on the road to totalitarianism. You're on the road to being ruled, you know, and I will not be ruled. I won't be.
Well, yeah, that's our motto over at Trad Am, over at traditionalamericanmovement.com, is we will not be ruled. And thank you for coming on, Jim. I mean, I appreciate that. It does hit home with me because I'm getting fed up, you know, not just with the liberals, they get me fed up all the time, but you know, our own party, you know, and so on, just gets me fed up. You know, we keep making deals and we keep thinking that we can't win. And when we stick to our core beliefs, which really, if you think about it, they're not that many. There's only a few of them, you know. So if you stick to them, uphold the Constitution, less money being spent on stupid programs that we don't need, and less taxation, it really comes down to being quite simple, you know, with more freedom. So I appreciate you calling in and you know, telling us about that. When you see Robert, though, you give him a little nudge on me, all right?
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Jim, and hang tight, because the way you just ended up, you're going to love our very next guest. We're up against the heartbreak here. We're going to do it real quick and then come back out. And, folks, we've got our friend, another brother from another mother, because we got a lot of them. Harmon Caslow, producer of both Atlas Shrugged Part 1 and Atlas Shrugged Part 2 and the upcoming Atlas Shrugged Part 3. So stand by. We're going to come out of this hard break with Harmon Caslow.
Thank you, Gene.
Let me try.
Okay. Just remember what I showed you.
Yep. There was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo! Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higg and Resch sent you. TheThirdLantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Patriot Studios. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bean and Michael B.
That's right, Patriots. God bless the United States of America. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Michael B. from Texas Patriot Studios Command, along with my brother, Uncle Bing, out of the Tennessee Patriot Studios Command. It is about 3 minutes after the top of the hour. We're fixing to bring on a friend of ours that joined us just prior to the release of Atlas Shrugged Part 2. Bing and I are both big, huge Ayn Rand fans, and Atlas Shrugged is a great book. If you've not read it or listen to it, I suggest that you do. I've seen both part one and part two. Being they mirrored the book almost perfectly, which is unique. You don't see that in many movies. Before we bring in Harmon, though, I'm going to go ahead and open up his mic. But before we bring in Harmon, I just want to play about 2 minutes. It's about 2 minutes. I want to play Harmon's trailer for Atlas Shrugged Part Two, and then we'll bring Harmon on.
Sounds good.
Protect the security of our fellow citizens. For the duration of the national emergency, that the statutes of Directive 10-289 shall remain in effect. All copyrights shall be transferred to the federal government. All wages and other forms of income are hereby frozen.
It's all happening so fast.
I won't be a slave.
You say you and Henry Reardon found it?
A device harvesting limitless energy without fossil fuels.
We're so close to having something they won't be able to fight.
They will try like hell to stop you.
Ms. Taggart,
I think everyone agrees that capitalism doesn't work.
You don't understand the power they have.
The government takes what they want and taxes what they leave behind.
One of these days, you're going to have to decide which side you're on.
It's obvious that drastic measures have to be taken.
If you saw Atlas, knees buckling, arms trembling, but still trying to hold up the world with elastic strength, what would you tell him to do?
Where are they? Anyone who could make a difference.
I'm sitting next to him.
I've only got one thing left worth fighting for. This.
If you feel you have the right to use force against me, bring guns.
Time is running out.
Who or what is John Gall? Is he even a man?
Or an idea?
Are you ready?
God, that just brings shivers to me. That Francis D'Anconia, if you saw Atlas, knees buckling, arms trembling, it almost brings me to tears, Ming, because I think that's kind of how I feel. But I'm going to turn it over to you and let you bring in Harmon, because this is your baby. And I just want to say, Harmon, thank you so much. Go ahead, Ming.
Yeah, Harmon, I'd like to welcome Harmon Caslow, co-producer of The Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand, based off the Ayn Rand novel movies, or book, and his movies are just great. And Harmon, welcome again to our show. Nice to have you.
Oh, great to be talking with you, Bing. Hi, Michael. It's great to be
here. How you
doing,
Mr. Caslow?
Doing great today. How are you guys?
We are doing fantastic, and we're so glad that you're joining us today.
No, well, it's great to be here. We are now just a couple weeks away from releasing the DVD of Atlas Shrugged Part 2. It'll be available on February 19th. I think we've got you guys in order to receive some promo copies in a couple of weeks. And, you know, if people are interested in pre-ordering, they can go to our website, atlasshruggedmovie.com.
atlasshruggedmovie.com. Go
I'm going to drop it in the chat room
because-
now.
Yeah, because I tell you what, I've seen the movie. I was sitting there in the trailer. I've been following your whole production over there, Harmon, and it's just fantastic. Like I said, the people you got working for you, I gotta just say, you know, I gotta give them kudos because they are very well organized, very well trained, and they sit there and they care, you know, and they're very active. They're very good at what they do.
Oh, no, absolutely. Now, we put together a really great crew of people. You know, John Aglialoro, my producing partner, you know, our goal really in all of this is to try to do our best to, you know, really celebrate Ayn Rand's, you know, ideas. And so, you know, all of our decisions that we've made, you know, from the cast to the screenplay are really driven by this goal. And so, you know, we're on our way to getting all parts of the book done. For those of your listeners who don't know, the book, written in 1957, is about 1,200 pages split into three parts. The way we're producing the movies is to have each part stand on their own. So if you're not familiar with the book or haven't seen part one, you should easily be able to identify and understand what's going on in part two. You know, and really the whole core message of Atlas, you know, revolves around the very things that you guys talk about, you know, on your program, which is really just respecting, you know, the rights of the individual. And, you know, Atlas Shrugged is illustrative of what happens when government interferes with business and corruption begins to drive policy. And when sound, you know, economic principles are superseded by crony, you know, capitalism. And really at its core, this bad government policy is ultimately responsible for, you know, ousting innovators and driving away free thinkers and ultimately, you know, killing the heart of entrepreneurs, which are really the backbone of any society's growth and prosperity. And it's something, you know, obviously that we're all experiencing with this economic downturn.
Oh, definitely. When we talked last time, it was before the election. It was before the movie came out, and
right.
We were so hopeful that the movie would have some kind of impact on the elections, and it did not. I mean, how disappointed were you?
What's really interesting. I mean, we obviously learned a lot, and I think a lot of people, you know, especially those who are fighting, you know, for liberty, you know, who are patriots, who, you know, believe in free markets and limited government and individual rights, I think that they were really shocked at the results of the election. And what came to light, I think, is that, you know, we really have three groups of voters in this country. You know, we have the left, we have the right, we have this huge group of independents, you know, tens of millions of them. And they just did not show up. Because any rational human being would know that we cannot sustain the course we are on in this country and expect to leave anything for, you know, our legacy and our children. So I really think that we took for granted that everyone knew that this election was important if we wanted to right America's ship. And that was just a bad assumption. I mean, there's tens of millions of people, voters in this country, that really are literally asleep at the wheel. And it's mind-boggling, you know, that people like you and me that turn their back, you know, what this country was founded upon, you know, the sacrifice that have been made, you know, by patriots to uphold our liberty and not exercise their right to vote. And yeah, I mean, I think not only was it shocking that we saw the outcome in November, but just that such a large number of people disengaged from the process.
Well, and also, Harmon, if I could just real quickly, not only did a lot of people disengage, but those that did participate, you know, be they low-information voters or high-information voters like us, we discovered that at least insofar as those that do get out and vote, there are more that have discovered that they can vote themselves government largesse. And you know, even more so now, since we last spoke and the election has taken place, Harmon, I am more afraid for my children's future. I mean, I'm 50 years old. I'll probably be here another 20 years. I mean, I know a lot can happen in 20 years. And I know 50 years is not old, but, you know, it's my children, my grandchildren, my granddaughter, who's only a little, you know, 2 year old. You know, I think, you know, I look at Atlas Shrugged Part 1 and Part 2, and you know, I refer to the book quite often. And then after the election, I'm really afraid. I mean, I'm really afraid that Ayn may have been a visionary of what's really, truly, and, you know, I know that sounds like I've got a tinfoil hat on, but, you know, we would have never thought that we would have had nationalized health care, and look where we're at.
Right, right. No, and you know, these are, well, what we have to do, especially in the context of Atlas Shrugged, you look at Ayn Rand, an immigrant to this country, a staunch supporter of America and a capitalist, a believer in a constitutional republic, and you know, she witnessed, you know, the enactment of these New Deal policies, and you know, some people seem to think that she wrote this book really as a parody of those policies, and just kind of looking in your crystal ball and seeing where this would take the country, and here we are, you know, 50 years later. And I think we're spending somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 trillion a year just on entitlement programs. And, you know, this is simply not sustainable. And you have, you know, a president that talks about, you know, the ladders of opportunity that exist in this country. But what he doesn't tell you is that to climb that ladder, you're going to have on your back, you know, $16-plus trillion of debt, which probably eliminates most of the opportunities that, you know, he is envisioning for the future.
Right, and this is real quickly, Bing. We're going to forego the soft break. I just want to say real quick, this is Soldiers of Patriotism. Phone number 718-305-7176. We do have producer Harmon Caslow, who produced Atlas Shrugged Part 1 and Part 2, and will be producing Atlas Shrugged Part 3. Go ahead, Bing.
I was just going to say, Harmon, when we were on here last, we were promoting Part 2, and I just wanted to know, how did that go? I mean, how did everything work out?
Well,
I also wanted to say something. You talk the talk and you walk the walk. You actually believe in what you are doing, and I love that. I just wanted to put that out there. But
well,
yeah, how did Part 2 go?
Well, you know, we wrote on the coattails of 2016, which did very well. It came out a little bit before we did. We were much closer to the election. But the exhibitors embraced showing the film. I think that they believe that, you know, in their communities there is a hunger and thirst for the message that you guys talk about on this program and the message of Atlas Shrugged. So we really, you know, were able to get into 1,000 theaters. We did a little more than $3 million in box office, and, you know, here we are now able to, you know, provide the movie via DVD or video on demand to a much wider audience on February 19th. So, you know, we're pleased. This is about, you know, the same thing that you guys strive for, which is getting a message out and trying to engage with a great number of people in America to get them activated and get us, you know, back to what this country was founded upon. And your show, Atlas Shrugged, are all various tools that we have at our disposal to try to make this happen.
And you can get you can pre-order the DVD on atlasshruggedmovie.com, which Michael, I think, dropped the link in the chat there. And Harmon, just a personal thing for me. During Part 2, when the guy was out in the middle of the street there carving that wood sign.
Yeah.
And he carved, my country, so on, was born 1776, died today. I don't know if you guys made a T-shirt. I told Michael about this afterwards. Remember, Michael, we were talking about it.
Oh, a still of
and
that
I'm
would
like,
be awesome.
When it burned into the screen with that bright red, Harmon, you got to get your – I don't know if they already got this out, but you got to get a T-shirt or something. I'll get like a bunch of them because that would
no, excellent. You know what – Yeah, that was a great thing, and really, you know, credit goes to the the creative team that helped us produce the movie, to come up with just kind of a way to depict the enactment of these new governmental regulations. But Scott DeSapi, who runs our online world, they have merchandising. They have come up with a little. Way of presenting that in our film self, but I will definitely look at doing that. Kind of as really it's the compliments this don't tread on me type concept, which is if we don't take action, then you know we might as well look at writing off what this country was founded upon. It's so clear that so many of us that we have this collectivist. Socialist type leadership now in the White House, and here we are, just sitting back and letting it all happen, or at least our elected officials that we expect to fight for our rights, letting it all happen.
Yeah, and we are. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. It is 18 minutes after the top of the hour. We have our guest Harmon Caslow, who produced Atlas Shrugged Part 1 and Part 2, on with us. Harmon, if you've got a few more minutes. I've got just a couple of questions for you. Number one, you were able to work in Sean Hannity on Part 2. Now, is there any way you can work in Bing and I on Part 3?
There you go. Well,
I'm joking with you, Harmon.
What we will do is, one of the things that is important to us is, people who have been breaking or have been inspired and influenced by the book. We want them to join in our celebration of Ayn Rand's ideas and a message that's coming out of these films. So once we get to that point, I'm happy to circle back to you guys. And, a number of people, did come and want to spend a day or two on the set
I was half joking on that, Harmon. Just having you on the show is honor enough. Where are you on the production of Atlas Shrugged Part 3?
We are now just trying to, you know, figure out what the movie is going to be. There's a lot of stuff going on. It ties up a lot of storylines, you know, in the preceding 800-900 pages of the book. And so we're still in the very early formative stages. Hopefully we'll get into production this summer. And it'll be available in 2014, you know, which is another critical time in this country where, you know, we'll have midterm elections, and it'll be a real test to see if we're going to right America's ship or literally allow it to kind of crash and burn, because I don't think that we can really, you know, sustain what we're doing for four more years.
I don't either. Well, Bing, unless you have something else, I was kind of hoping we could get a couple of our people on hold to just get an opportunity to say hi to Harmon or ask a question, if that's okay with Harmon.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, after meeting Harmon and having him on last time, me and Scott, talked to him a little bit on Facebook and so on, and I watched his drum performance last night, and I did not know he was a drummer, Scott DeSapio, and I commented back to him, you know, I'm a drummer too, but it's just amazing the amount of people, Rihanna and everybody else from your organization, they're top notch, top level, they know what they're doing, and they're very good at what they're doing. I just want to put that plug in for you guys, man.
Thanks, Dan. Now, Scott's a great, great member of the team, and really happy for all the stuff that he does, and there he is down in Texas, and he's making it all happen for us.
Where is he at in Texas? Yeah,
he is in Wacky-Atchee or something.
He's just right down the road. I need to get together with him and have a
brief. You need to go out. That's what I've been trying to tell you, Michael. Get out over there and see Scott. Maybe he'll let you play on his drums or something. I don't
okay.
know.
Absolutely. He's a great guy.
Harmon,
he is, definitely.
You know, I want to bring in a couple of folks, you know, listeners, strong supporters, and, give them an opportunity to speak to you if you've got a minute. But, you know, Harmon, thanks. And thank Rihanna. You know, we were so honored when Bing was so excited. He texted me, said, "Michael, you're not going to believe this. Rihanna got in touch with me. Harmon was, you know, we were just like, wow, this is awesome." So we are here for you guys whenever. All Rihanna has to
yep.
do is send a message, and we will bend over backwards for you.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much. So let's take a few questions, and we'll see where we can go here.
Let's go ahead and bring in on Brother Ron. You got anything for Harmon?
I was just sitting out here talking with somebody in the chat room that got us all fired up a few minutes ago. But we just appreciate you, Harmon. That Atlas Shrugged. I haven't read the book, but I watched the first part of the movie, and I'm telling you, it makes chills come out all over me when I think of how close we are to having just that kind of thing happen today.
Yeah, it really is scary, and hopefully we can get like-minded people to really do something that is a little bit against the theme in the book, which is rallying against collectivism. But I think that we've got to take our mutual interest here and really try to engage in our communities and try to effectuate some change.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ron. Hang tight. Kurt, you got anything for Harmon?
I just want to express my appreciation to Mr. Caslow for his great effort, and just keep up the good work, sir.
Well, great. Thank you very much for your support, and hopefully you'll get excited and be able to see part three when it comes out. The DVD will be available on the 19th, and more information about the movies is at atlasshruggedmovie.com.
That'll be the 19th. Go ahead, Bing.
19th of February. Harmon, will this be available on Netflix as well?
Yeah, it'll be available on Netflix, the DVD. It won't stream on Netflix until, I think, September, October.
Very good.
Okay, great.
Well, real quickly, before Harmon has to go, let's get Chuck in here. Boyd, you're on deck real quick. Chuck, what do you got for Harmon?
Oh, nothing really. A good hearty thank you for all your efforts.
Well, Chuck, thank you very much. You know, it's people like you, that are supporting this effort, and you know, fighting for patriotism. You know, we're all in this together, and you know, it just seems inconceivable that at any point during our lifetimes we would have to, you know, fight so hard for our liberty and individual rights. And so, but we're there, and we need to do it. And yeah, I really appreciate, you know, your support and what you're doing on your end too.
Thank you, Chuck. Real quickly, Boyd, do you have anything for Harmon?
Anything for Harmon?
Thank him for visiting with us today.
Yeah, first, Harmon, I'd like to thank you for the movies. And the second thing is, do you think you can get part three out early enough in 2014 to help the conservatives?
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, what's interesting is that, you know, there is definitely a political theme that is part of, you know, what's embodied in Atlas Shrugged, but there's also things in there that just kind of relate to us as individuals and, you know, how we live our lives. And I think that, you know, one of the things that we all see happen is, you know, these political parties have to, you know, really evaluate the principles upon which, you know, that they base their platforms and figure out the fights that are appropriate to be taken to Washington and those, you know, that are not as appropriate. And I think, you know, it's really about catching this group that's in the middle and just engaging with them enough so that, you know, they will go to the polls and make their voices heard. You know, certainly what we're all arguing about is very rational, and it's so consistent with what this country was founded upon that, you know, it's obvious to us what the right answers are. But we really need to bring in, you know, like-minded people who maybe, you know, haven't identified with the right or left but consider themselves independent. We have to embrace those people and bring them into our camps and get them as part of the political process.
Absolutely. Well, Harmon, before I turn it over to Bing and let him wrap up with you, I just want to thank you again. Folks, that is AtlasShruggedTheMovie.com. You can pre-order the DVD. Stay tuned. Probably next weekend or whatnot, Rihanna and Harmon are going to get us a few promotional DVDs that we will figure out a way to do some giveaways on an upcoming show. Harmon, thank you so much. By the way, on the 10th, if you have an opportunity, Harmon, we did discover there's another conservative actor. Nick Searcy's going to be on the show with us.
Something you might want
to think about for part three, Nick's a good guy, a good conservative as well over there in Hollywood. Thank you so much, Bing. Wrap it up with Harmon. And Harmon, again, anything that Bing and I and Conservative Nation Radio and Traditional American Movement can do for you, we're at your disposal, sir. And thank you
all
so
right.
much.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Harmon, thank you so much for coming back on the show. And the movie can be had at AtlasShruggedMovie.com, right?
Yes. And also, it'll be available in all the big box stores, you know, Apple,
Amazon,
and as well as online.
Okay, great. On the third movie though, are we going to keep the same cast? Do you know yet?
No, we're going to have a different cast. You know, on part three, you know, it's a wholly, you know, independent, you know, motion picture, and that's just the way that you know, we're going to have to approach it.
Maybe there's room for Nick on there somewhere.
There you go. Well, if we get you on set, we'll put you in the background for sure.
Yeah, get
all
Nick
right, guys.
Searcy on there because, you know, he is Nick Searcy, you know. So, I don't know. But, yeah, we got him coming up. But, Harmon, thank you so much for being on, and thank all your staff for being so cordial and just so together.
You guys have a great weekend, and thanks for all your support.
Thank you, Harmon.
Thank you, Harmon.
Wow, what a show. We are the Atlas Shrugged blog talk radio show. I mean, right here it is, folks. We've had Harmon on twice now. How many BTR shows can put that feather in their cap?
Well, I tell you what, man. The thing that I love about Harmon and Scott DeSapio, who he's on Facebook, and if you haven't seen his drum solo, he does a pretty good – well, not solo, but he does a pretty good job. And you know, these people actually do believe in this, okay? They believe in this movie, and they believe in Ayn Rand, and they believe in that book. And if you have not gotten the book yet, please, it's a long read, okay? It's quite a few pages, but it's well worth it. It is
well,
the second most influential.
It's a 63-hour listen on audible.com.
Yeah, I think I can get through the book now that I've read it about three times faster than that. But the thing is, you have to read it like a couple times, some passages and so on. But, yeah, man, if we can get that burn-in on that thing on the screen, that you know, I'm glad that he took that under note. I'll tell Scott on Facebook, you know, check into that, man, because I think that would make a great T-shirt, dude.
Absolutely.
Really
well, Bing, we're up against
the
hard break, brother.
Dude on the air.
We're up against
okay,
the heartbreak.
Man.
Let's take that. We'll come out of that, and we'll start our famous traditional American movement roundtable.
Right. Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here? Cool. Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like, consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Hey, what's up? This is Left speaking for Rad. Give up the keys. Choose a designated driver. Music lives. So should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All right, and it is 34 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. With your host, Uncle Bing Fisher, out of the Tennessee Patriot Studios Command, as well as Michael B., out of the Texas Studios Patriot Command. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Again, that is 718-305-7176. You can find us at traditionalamericanmovement.com, as well as conservativenationradio.org. Conservative Nation Radio is the mouthpiece for traditional American movement. So I encourage you to check out both websites. You will need to sign up for traditionalamericanmovement.com if you're not a member over there already, but you will not be disappointed that you signed up. Brother Bing, come on in here. We're at the last 25 minutes of our show today. We've had on Mark Stewart's Texas Tea Party leader here in North Texas. Had a good visit with him. Then at the top of this last hour, we had on Harmon Caslow, who talked to us about the DVD release of Atlas Shrugged. We've got some promos coming our way to do some giveaways in an upcoming show. Wow, I mean, I'm just floored with our growth, with everything that's happening between Tradam and CNR. Brother, I don't know if it's because we lost the election. And I mean, I've even noticed I had to disconnect my email from Freedom Connector, which is a part of Dick Armey's outfit, because I was just all of a sudden after the election started getting bombasted with emails, people getting active again We're seeing big growth. We're seeing big growth on in our show numbers. I mean, it's amazing.
We got Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing that landed or got not landed. I don't want to say that. They're not flying a plane around, but they got Publius Hulda that's going to come on from she's a writer for Canadian Free Press and somebody that I've met before, a very nice woman, and a constitutional lawyer. And she is going to be on their show. And I just got to say, man, tune in for that. When they release that one, that one's going to be good.
Yeah. Well, and let's just real quickly, we're not going to have a show next Sunday because it is Super Bowl.
It's Super Bowl, man. I know ain't nobody going to watch, you know. I guess we could get on here, me and you, Michael, but that'd be about it, you know.
Well, you know, I got no dog in this hunt. I'm going to go over to my mom's.
I don't either.
You know, I mean, surprisingly, our numbers have been up even during the playoffs. But Super Bowl, I just don't want to have to compete with it. We'll take us a little hiatus. But then that following Sunday, February 10th, we have Nick Searcy lined up, who's going to talk to us about acting school with Nick Searcy. And if you've not, and he just came out with the teaser for episode 5. You go to nickcearcy.com and check out acting school. This is hilarious stuff. Nick is a conservative in Hollywood.
Great, man. I mean, there's some language there, not rough. I mean, it's just a little bit, you know, off the cuff. But yeah, this guy cracks me up. It's just, you know, what he's doing now is just so, it's unbelievable. And I tell you what, man, when we go to interview Nick, I'm going to probably be nervous as crap because I think he's got something up his sleeve. I don't know what it is. It's just, you know, something about him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, and then the following week, the 17th, we are going. Oops, hang on, hold on. The following week, on the 17th, we're going to have John LaRosa, who is a political consultant. Was a political consultant for Herman Cain. He's going to come on and talk to us about CPAC 13. And then on February 24th, we've got Tom Hoefling, who's the president of America's Party, is going to join us. So, and we've got, we're getting people all the time, that are contacting us that are wanting to get on our show as well as some of the other shows. I mean, I don't want to sound braggish, but, we're making an impact. John posted on Facebook the other day, John LaRosa, Soldiers of Patriotism and Conservative Nation Radio is attracting top name conservatives, and that's the truth. We are.
Oh, definitely, man. And look, the way I look at it is, you know, it's not being braggadocious. It's just being for real. I mean, that's the way it is right now. We got a product, and people like it, and that's the way it is. People need to get in touch with their true self and understand what sells, you know, especially in radio. I mean, radio is theater of the mind, you know. I mean, you can do all sorts of things on it. I can't do stuff like I would hear, you know, if I was on video. But, yeah, we're doing great, man. I mean, you know, Publius Hulda, you know, going to be on Women Patriots. I mean, that's going to be great.
Absolutely.
And that's next Tuesday, I think.
Well, this is Soldiers of Patriotism. I am Michael B., along with my brother, Uncle Bing. Phone number 718-305-7176. Bing, we do have some stacked lines. I see Mark is back with us for the final part of the show, which is our traditional American movement roundtable. So should we open up the mics and we'll just bring everybody on and start moderating our we do have a soft break in about 6 minutes, but go ahead and get our roundtable going.
Yeah, we got you calling in a little bit, but yeah, go ahead. Let's open them up.
I'm getting them open. Mark, come on in here. Mark, are you there?
Let's start with Libby Faison.
Can you hear me?
Start this off.
Ron,
you know,
go right
we had an exciting thing happen to one of our members a few days ago, and that was Kurt Blackwood getting elected as president of his county's Republican Party. He won't say nothing about it, but I think it's a big damn deal.
Yeah, I do, too. Congratulations, Kurt.
Especially since we've got Mark back on the phone, and we were just talking about what it is we need to do as conservatives moving forward. Kurt, that's awesome news.
Well, thank you, Michael. I think it's throughout the go. It's kind of ironic. 2 years ago, people were trying to get me to run for chair of the local GOP, and I said, no, it's not for me. I stayed active in Tea Party, which I will continue to do the same. Now I just will step aside as president of the Volunteers for Freedom. But, well, you know, there are certain things that I probably don't need to say on the air about our plans here, but I think the gentleman down in Texas understands what I mean, you know, because you all are preaching the same gospel down there. I'm sitting here, of course, now this should bring out some sort of a crispy critter comment from Carolina Goober, who is in the chat room over here on Blog Talk Radio. I can't wait to see what he says about that. But anyway, Carolina, you need to get it. Read a couple of good books, brother, and get some education there on what's going on, okay? But, yeah, it's my pleasure to try to do what I can, serve in that capacity, because things have to be changed. It's a lot cheaper to take over a party that's already in existence than it is to build a new one from the ground up.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, Kurt, 2 years ago, them people up there was probably trying to run you out of town. Not sure.
So. There's always that possibility still.
Well, Ron, I'm glad you brought that to our attention, because we know that Brother Kurt wouldn't have been. I'm just tickled to death to hear that Kurt has taken a leadership role in his county's Republican Party. Let's bring Chuck in real quick, because we did get to hear much from Chuck with Harmon. But let's go ahead and bring in Chuck and see how things have been going with Chuck. See what's on his mind. Chuck, what's going on, brother?
Well, greetings, brothers and sisters. It's been a while since I've been on this show, so.
I know, I've been missing you.
It's just a matter of timing, you know. That's all it is. So
yeah, you got that Alaska thing going up there.
Well, yeah, and I get off work at 6 o'clock in the morning, so you know that's 10 o'clock, and the show starts at noon. You know, 10 o'clock Eastern time, the show starts at noon Central, and yeah, it's I'm usually dead by this time of day. But
absolutely.
Anyway,
well, you got to hear both Mark and Harmon. And Mark is on the phone with us, by the way. And he's got an open mic. So anything you've got to say to Mark about what he talked about or anything that Harmon said that was of any interest to you?
Well, if the subject of the debt ceiling came up a little bit earlier. And if we don't increase the debt ceiling, it doesn't mean that none of our bills are going to get paid. It just means we won't be able to borrow anymore to continue paying for things that we probably shouldn't be paying for anyway. But it's going to get increased. And here's my thought process on that. French Revolution era, a gentleman by the name of Rothschild said something to the effect of, if I can control a nation's money, I can control their politics. So, you know, and then we get Andrew Jackson, who had a attempt on his life because he wanted to end the second national bank. And then we get Abraham Lincoln, who was assassinated because he was going to just print money and ignore the banks. Gosh, that might have been constitutional. Anyway. And then, of course, we get the Federal Reserve, which was, a cabal of all the money peoples of the day. And then we get Kennedy gets assassinated. He was going to end the bank too. So here we are today. We got, you know, next to nothing for interest rates coming from our central bank and massive amounts of debt. And I just wonder, you know, what would happen if the Fed was to raise their interest, say, like, you know, 1%? How much more would that cost the government, us? And so what would happen if it went up to 5 or 6%? that could effectively demolish the economy. And so you guys really need to, you need to, you know, keep borrowing money from me, or I'm going to raise the interest rate, and we'll all be done. And I'll have all the money.
An interesting side note to that is that I read some statistic where between 1800 and 1900, the dollar was effectively worth the same, meaning it wasn't inflated at all. Then after we got the Federal Reserve, between then and today, it's lost something like 90% of its value, 80 to 90% of its value.
96%.
Right, and most of that loss was under Nixon when he took us off the gold standard.
Oh, yeah.
So those,
yeah,
that's
our money
pretty...
has no value anymore. It's not backed up on anything. We don't even print the money that we loan to the government to spend to come back to the Federal Reserve.
Hey, guys.
It's a Ponzi scheme.
Y'all hold your thoughts for 1 minute here, okay?
I'm so glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
All right, and this is Soldiers of Patriotism. It is 42 minutes after the top of the hour. We are in our last segment. We've got Mark Stewart. We've got Ron. We've got Kurt. We've got Chuck. And we've got Boyd, along with me, Michael B., and my brother, Uncle Bing Fisher. Finishing up this show in our traditional American movement roundtable. Sorry about that, guys. I just need to take a quick break so that I don't go to radio broadcasting jail by our program director, Duke Brooks, who's doing a fabulous job, by the way. Y'all check out our website, conservativenationradio.org, as well as traditionalamericanmovement.com. And that's where the post-show chat will be after this show is over. So I turn it back over to you guys. Go ahead, Mark. What were you saying?
Oh, I finished my thought. I was just speaking on the Federal Reserve and how it has – pretty much destroyed the dollar.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that I could agree with Dr. Paul on. Wouldn't that have been pretty unique to see him appointed as director of the
Fed Reserve chairman
of the Fed Reserve and then fire himself?
I tell you what, that would have been great. I would have loved to see that.
Well,
because
I'm not a big Dr. Paul fan, but he does know economic issues.
Oh, yeah. Well, the only thing I have an issue with him, and I don't want to rehash all this stuff because he's not running anymore for anything, but, you know, his foreign policy deal. But, you know, and that's debatable. We got other issues on the fryer right now, and I wish we could have got to the gun control thing with Dianne Feinstein, but we'll have to leave that, I guess, for another day. But, yeah, that's another hot topic issue. You're not going to get rid of over 3 million guns in this country.
We've got about 11 minutes. We can certainly interject it into the conversation. But you're right. It's going to have to be a conversation for another day. You know, it's interesting you should bring that up. I was responding last night on Facebook, on a Facebook page called Texas Hill Country. Someone had posted a really excellent post about the Alamo. And, of course, all the liberal trolls came out of the woodwork about how Texas was stolen from the Mexicans. And I had a really nice, comfortable, smart-ass reply, I guess you might say, to them, but that made my point very clear. And, you know, the start of the Texas Revolution started with Anahuac and the Battle of Nacogdoches, both of which happened in 1832. And it was because Santa Anna, who had been a Federalist when he was, they were fighting in the war against Spain to become their own country, was a Federalist. But then when he assumed power, he became a Centralist. And in 1832, this when the problems started happening, you see, because mostly Tennesseans, but people from all over the country started coming to Texas in the early 1800s, and they swore allegiance and became Mexican citizens, as bona fide as though they were born on the soil. And they had sworn allegiance to the Constitution of 1824, which had been modeled after the American Constitution. Well, in 1832, the Mexicans were centralizing power, and they wanted to start confiscating weapons. And in my retort of on Facebook of last night, I put, "Does that sound familiar?" Because, you know, it really does. You know, I mean, I draw parallels in history to current times, and it, you know, I'm a firm believer that if we forget history, we're doomed to repeat it.
Oh, definitely. I mean, look at Nazi Germany. I mean, they knew where the guns were. They knew. And look at Australia. Look at Britain. They know where the guns were. They keep destroying them. Look at China. You know, I mean, we don't have to go very far to sit there and figure out what's going on here. This list that they want to have. I mean, you know, there's nothing been set in stone yet, but I'm really afraid that these capitulating little window licker GOP members that we got up there that want to sit there, and I think that that they will capitulate on a lot of this. And I'm going, you know, look, under the assault weapon ban, which, you know, is really a stupid thing. I don't know if you've seen Dr. Susanna Hoff on Fox this morning. She was talking, Michael. And she was basically saying the same thing. Her parents were killed at Libby's Massacre years ago, and mm-hmm. She did that video. And mm-hmm. what she was basically saying is that, look, you're trying to ban a toy gun. It's a gun based off it's a model of a gun based off what hardware is on there. It looks menacing. It looks evil. You know, it has no other function other than the semi-autos that are out there right now. It's the same functioning gun. There is no – and see, this is where the liberals have took it. They redefined – and now they're calling it not assault weapon because they know they can't get away with that no more. But they're calling it an assault-style weapon. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
See, they want to redefine what this gun is because their agenda is not to save kids. It's to get rid of guns because they have power. They will have the power, and they know that.
And New York,
people say, "Well, why do you, yeah." And people say, "Why do you need, like, you know, an assault? You know, why do you need this type of gun? It's to keep me safe from the government. I don't. It's not about protection. It's not about protection. And there's people that use this on their farms. I use my AR-15 on my farm out here to kill varmints to get after my chickens and other animals that I got over here."
Well, it has nothing to do with needs.
Standard. No.
It has nothing to do with needs. We don't have a bill of needs. We have a bill of rights, and it's my right to own any freaking weapon I want to, other than a fully automatic. But, you know, they keep trying to perpetuate the myth that...
Well, no, you can own a fully automatic, too, if you want to.
Well, with the proper license.
No. If you have a right to own a weapon, you have a right to own any weapon. If you don't have a right to own one weapon, then you open the door to not being able to own any weapons because you've abdicated your God-given right.
And I agree. But, I mean, we can't own a nuclear bomb or a howitzer. I mean, you know, but where I was going was that, you know, they're trying to push this myth. You know, they're saying now, why do we need to have weapons that the military uses? Well, you can't. You can't have the weapons, you know. You can have weapons that kind of look like them, but they're not. So, you know, they're going to push these myths on us. They're going to, unfortunately, there's about 47% of the sheeple out there that are going to buy into this horse hockey.
Well, when you sit there and watch Quentin Tarantino and all these people out there, and they're in the movies – okay? And they're actually not using fully automatic weapons, but they're using fake ones, but they make them look like they're fully auto. And then, you know, it's part of the culture. It's part of the whole communist type of plan of they want the guns gone, you know? Hirohito said, look, we can't invade America because we'll be staring a gun down behind every blade of grass.
Absolutely.
And they know this.
Well, we're down to the last 4 minutes, so let's run down and give everybody about a minute, Bing. Starting with Mark. Mark, give us about 45 seconds.
I just wanted to, on the subject of guns, I don't know if y'all saw it, but there was an article today that said New York gun owners flipped the bird to assault weapons registration law in New York that Cuomo just signed. People are not rushing to register their assault weapons in New York, apparently, and the Cuomo administration official says many of these assault rifle owners aren't going to register. We realize that. Of course, what that means that state officials are just posturing and are entirely ignorant of history when they ram through that law. So there's hope, perhaps.
Let's hope so, Mark. Mark, I will email you a little bit either later today or tomorrow and square up with you on the next show we can get you on. I have to take a look at the calendar. Ron, you're up. Kurt, you're on deck.
I was just saying that, you know, China would probably already be over here if we didn't have privately owned weapons. And, you know, they say that stopped Japan. And I believe it's stopping China, and that's why China is pushing to have our gun laws redone.
Absolutely. Isn't it funny how all the other countries are pushing to impede on our sovereignty? Thanks a lot, Ron, for joining us today. Kurt, you're up. Chuck, you're on deck.
My answer to why do I need a certain kind of weapon is very simple. I need at least one more round than my enemy has. Back to you, Michael.
That was Soldiers of Patriotism. Thank you for joining us today. Everything's just been said that needed to be. No, thanks, Kurt. You're absolutely right. And thanks for joining us today. Chuck, you're up. Boyd, you're on deck.
Yeah, well, you know, China holds a lot of our debt, and they'd like to come over here and buy a bunch of land and a bunch of resources and stuff so they could take it home with them. And you know, if we're armed, we're probably not going to let them do that.
Well, we sure hope so. But if push comes to shove, you and Boyd need to be getting ready for a lot of your friends to be moving up there and bunking with you guys.
Yeah, but they'll be coming up here to get our oil.
Boyd, you're up.
Yeah, I was going to say the last time a government tried to disarm the American people, you remember what happened. And, you know, we didn't have cannons and artillery pieces at the beginning of that war. We went and stole them and took them and defeated them with our muskets. And then we got the bigger weapons. And you don't think that wouldn't happen again? And for military style weapons, you know, we'll get them.
Absolutely, Brother Boyd. Well, thanks for joining us today. Bing, we're down to the last minute. Great show, my brother. Mark Stewart, Texas Tea Party leader, in the first half of the show. Harmon Caslow in the second half. All of our wonderful guests, Kurt Boyd, Ron, Jim doing the Step Right Up rant. We do need someone. We need some guys to or gals to email us and get themselves booked for upcoming shows. Wow. I'll give you the closing remarks, my brother.
I was just going to say join Duke Brooks tomorrow on conservativenationradio.org. So that's Monday, 7 Eastern, 6 Central for Radio Free America.
Yeah, and it's a good show. Duke is doing a good – I mean, man, I listened to him for his premiere last week. Awesome. It's an awesome show.
Yeah, we got a good lineup here all around, I think. So
absolutely.
But great show. It was great to have all these guests on and take us out, Michael.
All right. Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us this Sunday. We look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks. Again, we won't have a show next Sunday because of the Super Bowl. Soldiers of Patriotism, you know that Uncle Bing and I will avail ourselves to anybody. You have our emails. It's bing@conservativenationradio.org or michael@conservativenationradio.org. You know how to get a hold of us. Get a hold of us. If you've got any ideas or have any suggestions, we want to hear them. We will see you on February 10th. God bless you all. God bless America. And God bless the grassroots conservative movement. We love you all. Have a great day.
God bless.